Hello, and welcome to Noise and Notes. No, I'm not Philip Bailey. I'm Gabe Bullard. Philip is out this week. But before he left, he recorded some great interviews. At the end of each year, Leo Weekly publishes its list of losers, people who the alt-weekly scorns with the hope that they'll do better in the next year. On this Noise and Notes, Philip speaks with Leo's editor, Sarah Kelly, and writers Ann Marshall and Joe Sonka about the backlash from the annual issue. They also talk about the People issue, which highlights the accomplishments of local residents, in contrast to Loserville. Enjoy.
Well, starting with Loserville, I will just say in defense, it's not because we're mean and cranky and, you know, dislike the city. I think a lot of people misconstrue the purpose of this. Really, it's just a roundup of news throughout the year. And the point is to shed light on, you know, corruption, wrongdoing, and try and raise the bar and, you know, tell these people and organizations that they should be doing better.
But you've been in other cities before with other alt-weeklies. Is that... And I've seen these issues in other cities
right. Like
this, but I've never really heard about the blowback. I mean, why is that? Is it a Louisville thing that people get still upset about this issue, or is it the way you are, right? I mean, I see these, not to say, you know, this is a good issue. I love the issue. It's my favorite one of Leo, even though I work there especially. But the negative reaction is always very surprising to me.
Right. And it's really a mixed reaction. People either love it or hate it. And, I mean, I think the name turns people off, and they don't delve any further than the cover, and they don't know that there's actual news in there, and they just assume that we're trashing the city. So I do think people in this city are very proud of Louisville and are sensitive for good reason.
So you all still get hate mail for
this? That doesn't differentiate us from any other week, but yes, we do at times. But we also, you know, do get people who are saying that, you know, you're doing a great job, and this issue in particular, I think.
Well, what I enjoy most about these two issues is the contrast. The villains and the heroes. I mean, I think that's what I like most about the issue. I don't know. I think, is this the first loser for both of you?
No, yeah. I did
yeah,
lose for
did
last
year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's fun and nice about Loserville is that it's just saying things plainly that I think everyone wants to say about certain news stories. And I think that's why people like it. And also why people hate it, because it's just basically cutting to the chase on certain things and not, you know, being polite. But yeah, I think the contrast is really nice, because, you know, we're choosing individuals for the People issue. Then this is the first year that we've actually done that. We've usually had a Person of the Year, but, you know, we're choosing people who have, you know, shown something or done something valuable in the community, and that's worth celebrating.
Everyone at Leo usually has the person we beat up role. When I was there, it was Meter. It looked like I never got a, like, people wanted to fight me. But Joe, is that you now? People want to fight you?
No. I get nothing but positive feedback. Certainly not me.
But what are your thoughts on Loserville? I mean, is it generally the blowback?
I think it's just in time for the holiday festivus season, the airing of grievances. I think we have to get some things off of our chest at the end of the year, and this is a fun format to do it in.
And I will say that I got one of the most creative pieces of hate mail ever in response to Loserville. There was a lot of cutting and pasting. It was kind of a collage. Some markers were involved.
Sounds like the Bodyguard.
Yeah.
A little creepy.
I'm sure. There was a return address, so it's not like this, you know.
Well, the main attraction for this year's Loserville appears to be none other than Papa John himself, John Schnatter. He graces the cover.
He loved it.
Why John Schnatter? Why is he on this year's list?
Well, certainly, I mean, I think we throughout the year keep our own, you know, personal list, and then we confer about this, and he was on all of our lists because not only was he news locally, but nationwide. So he was an obvious candidate.
And his year kind of meshed so well with Mitt Romney, who he shares so many qualities. He opened his home for Mitt Romney and his giant mansion estate, and he's known for, and he made himself known this year for nickel and diming his own workers.
Yeah, because his opposition to the president's health care law. What I love about Loserville is the penance, where you all list what the person has to do to make up for it. And his was waterboarded with garlic butter. That tasty garlic butter from Papa John's, which took a pretty big hit from Stephen Colbert this year, too.
Right. I mean, a dash of humor. I think that's kind of where the penance comes in.
I think it's the most fun part to write right. a lot of times.
Well, and there's some other people on the list, some not so surprised, and some I actually was surprised to see on here. Jonathan Blue, I maybe didn't see this story. Why is Jonathan, businessman Jonathan Blue, why is he on there? I remember that his brother Todd was the one who people had a problem with a few years ago because of Whiskey Row. Why is Jonathan on there?
Well, you know, I think Steve Shaw, one of our columnists, wrote a pretty passionate column on Jonathan Blue and how he sort of forced the VA hospital into the location that was eventually chosen out there on Brownsboro Road. And there's a lot of people out there who question that whole process. And, you know, kind of, you know, you hear that Jonathan Blue is kind of the good brother, this, to be honest about what you hear, and you know, I think that this year there were some questions about how that whole process went down and why the transaction all of a sudden, you know, he, I can't remember the exact figures, but he ended up getting a whole lot of money for that piece of property that in a time when, you know, land values are going down, so something there just seemed, you know, not quite right.
And it's not just individuals who you'll have on the list. There are sometimes just issues like neighborhood schools. I mean, we have been hearing for years, neighborhood schools, and the neighborhood schools candidates,
zero.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
And you all had that on there, and the penance is, drop it once and for all.
Yeah. We'll see how that works.
Right.
Doubt that'll
Sadly, happen. They never follow through with our penances.
I know.
Yeah, I was going to ask, has there ever been someone who has said to you all, we've actually done the penance?
No, but we have, not everyone, believe it or not, who makes it on the list is as defensive.
There's some people who like it?
As readers. No,
wow.
But, you know, I think that they're used to criticism. So I don't think this
our,
is...
Our landlord came into the office last year.
Yes, so. Todd Blue
oh, that's right.
is
oh,
actually yes. owns the building where Leo's located, and last year after being on the list, he came in and was cracking jokes about it, so, you know.
While we were on the air talking about him
yes.
here at FBI.
Well, good. I'm glad to see that Todd has a sense of humor, as well as a lot of money.
Right.
One thing I like about the list as well is that you all have a mixed group of people on here. I mean, there's Jerry Abramson, there's Mandy Connell, Mitch McConnell, even Barack Obama's on the list. Now, why is President Obama on the list? He just won re-election. You know, everyone thinks that we in the media are just a bunch of liberal, biased folks anyway. Why is Senator-elect, President-elect, Hussein Kenyon-born, not really the President Obama on the list? Joe Sanko.
Well, as we said, we're very grateful for sparing America 4 to 8 years of Mitt Romney. But you have to look at some things that have been overlooked, I think, over the last 4 years, particularly our foreign policy and the kill list and the drones. And I think we're just letting them know
you
that...
Brought some issues that you hadn't really heard him be criticized about.
Right, right. And I think in the next 4 years, you're probably going to have a lot more of that criticism from Barack Obama's base that was just fearful that a Republican would be elected and he would only get one term. So mm-hmm. I think we'll be seeing a lot more of that.
So you all equal opportunity.
Right. And actually, I think I should have done the math before we came in. But, you know, some of the complaints, you know, suggested that we were really taking it out on Republicans when, in fact, there are many Democrats.
Oh, yeah. I think also when Barbara Shanklin is on here. Mm-hmm. Speaker Greg Stumbo.
Right.
Bashir
Abramson are on here. I mean, you got your fair share of Democrats on this list. I mean, I don't think anyone can say this is a Republican list.
And well-deserved.
All. Now, with that, like I said, there's the contrast of Loserville, but at the same time, and now in the past it was called Louisvillian of the Year. Sarah, why the name change? It's now the people issue.
Well, It's a different concept in the sense that, you know, well, every year we would come up with our own list of who we thought should be Louisvillian of the Year. We would go through several rounds of narrowing it down and just choose one person and then tell a very comprehensive story, which I think definitely has its merits. This year, and kind of looking over the lists, we had so many great candidates in various fields, which I think it was sort of a remarkable representation of Louisville and all the, you know, talent we have here. And it doesn't necessarily have to be someone who's, you know, big in philanthropy or in a nonprofit, which was sort of, you know, what you would expect from Louisvillian of the Year. You know, there could be someone who's successful in the arts or, you know, any number of things.
Yeah, I was going to say, the list seems very diverse. Anne, let me ask you wrote some of the profiles.
Mm-hmm.
Is it interesting going from one issue where everyone's like, oh, you all are just a bunch of haters, you don't like anyone, but then this issue shows the sunnier side of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like it's just a fun contrast, and you know, we compile this over the year, and you know, throughout the year, being a journalist and writer, you're constantly meeting people who you think, gosh, I wish there was a venue to tell their story. You know, they're not necessarily changing the world, they're not necessarily real well known in Louisville, but they're trying to do, or they've done something interesting.
You and I had this. Well, I don't think you were taking the opposite position, but when you were on Noise and Notes earlier this year with the folks from the paper,
right,
when we were talking about positive or negative news. Now, I, of course, think it's ridiculous, the idea that news is negative or positive, but the idea that there's sort of what these two issues do, they show you the bad folks, the villains, who you criticize, but then the people you like. Like, for example, Aubrey Clemens, who I never had heard of before your piece in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he was someone that I've met through just events at Network Center for Community Change, and I'd heard a lot about him through people, and I kind of just, he kind of just came up one day when we were talking about people, and I thought,
and he's a boxer. Give us a little bit on him. Who is he?
Yeah, he is a local guy. He never really boxed like for competition, but it was just sort of a passion of his, and he just has an interesting story where he, you know, got into trouble in his 20s and served some time, and now he's really trying to change his life around and do something good, bring back a boxing program to PCC, Presbyterian Community Center in Smoketown, which there's a lot of history there in that neighborhood, you know, with boxing. And so we thought he might make an interesting, you know.
Another person on the list is Savannah Dietrich, who, someone who created national, a national issue and brought Louisville to national prominence. She was the young lady who was sexually assaulted, and she blew the whistle on that case and sort of revealed we might want to change how we deal with juvenile court records and things of that nature. Why'd you all choose her? Besides the obvious reason she's a national figure, but why is she in the People issue?
Well, I mean, Anne wrote the profile, but I mean, I think one of the reasons that we thought she was so remarkable, obviously it's not just simply that she was a victim, but it's how she dealt with that. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the courage she displayed, and, you know.
At such a young age, too.
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty tender age for a girl, and to be under such spotlight and to continue to fight for what she thought, you know, for justice, for what she felt was fair, was pretty remarkable.
And I thought Anne's profile of her was great in the sense that, you know, it's, what, 6 months later, and it shows that she's still struggling, and it's not something that she's necessarily moved on from, but she has aspirations, she has goals, and, you know, it's not something that was just news and was dropped. There's more to her.
And Sarah, you wrote a profile on Deborah Yetter, we all know as Debbie, the longtime Courier Journal writer, and now in the opinion pages of the Courier. Why her?
Well, we wanted a journalist, and I kind of wanted someone who'd been in the business for a long time.
And someone who's universally well-liked. I mean, I think that Debbie's probably the most well-liked journalist.
I would agree. Yeah.
Of any, every outlet has respect for her.
And she's, you know, most recently on her reporting beat before she moved over to editorials, did that series of stories shedding light on the child abuse deaths in Kentucky, which, you know, just I think was a great, you know, culmination to her reporting career. And, you know, it's the kind of work that, you know, does affect change.
Well, the reason that caught my attention was, I think it's safe to say the Courier has taken some hits over the years, and Noise and Notes has certainly been critical. if you want to say that word,
we're gonna name names or just criminal.
We can't hear. We can hear. I don't mind doing that. But it was nice to see someone from that, you know, from the Courier, get their due, and from Leo too, which has historically been a critic of the Courier in years past.
Well, I mean, and it was interesting in talking to Debbie that she didn't try and sugarcoat any of it. I mean, I couldn't get into it, and you know, the 600 words, you know, we had allotted for this each story, but you know. Obviously, the business has faced a lot of turmoil, and, you know, she's, you know,
yeah,
honest
definitely.
About that,
yeah.
For sure.
And she's someone who admits that she supports other media outlets as well. I think she's a contributor here at Louisville Public Media. I believe so. And also some quirky folks. I mean, even our sister station, WFPK, Burke Bryant, I think Peter Berkowitz, the music editor, wrote that piece as well.
Yes, and I was really excited about that because I didn't know anything. I've listened to a show, but didn't know anything.
It's funny, I see him in the halls all the time. I don't know anything about him.
And just his photo makes you want to
know
this
tooth?
Guy. Yeah, it's a little sparkle in that.
Okay,
that's a
goldie.
Yeah, so, and he's just an interesting character whose story, you know, goes, he's, what, 82 years old. So there's much more to it. And he didn't have any experience being a DJ. And he just knew everything there was to know about bluegrass music and actually came to the station and said, give me a job.
Well, since I have you all here, let me ask you both with, and I've seen this in the Loserville part about Wave 3, Louisville media-wise, because someone came up to me the other day, Stephen George, former editor of Leo, he and I had a conversation once, and he was saying how what he misses in Louisville media he doesn't see when he was there, not just Leo, but in other places, is media criticism. Mm-hmm. Do we lack that? And not just in one shot, but all of our, it doesn't seem that we have people who are focusing back on what the local media does here. Even Gabe doesn't do his blog anymore. I think I can call it my boss like that. But.
No, I think that's definitely true. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do not with denial, but more so with resources and how you want to use them.
Is part of it, though, that we know, we all sort of know each other, and there is even maybe some, the closer you are with someone, maybe you don't want to criticize that person because you're going to see them at the press conference, you're going to see them somewhere else. Is that part of it?
Well, I mean, I know Leo for years had no qualms about, like you said, calling out the CJ. I mean, every week we did this thing called Gannett Watch in which we ran a photo of the CJ on fire.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
And would post the latest news, you know. And basically the reason we ended that is because it had kind of run its course. And, I mean, I think now, as far as the newspaper industry, it's we all know it's
but not
changing.
Just them, the television media. One thing I liked about the Wave 3 call-out in Loserville was that I haven't really heard criticisms of the television media. We can say what we want to about the CJ and its problems via its ownership with Gannett, but the television stations here, I mean, the editorials they do with Bill Lamb, and I forget the guy who on Wave 3 who does the editorials, are somewhat questionable, you could say, but we don't hear any criticism of broadcast media. Why is that?
Let's start it now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Anne Marshall.
Change the direction of the show.
but really, why?
No,
why is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think like Sarah was saying, I think a lot of it is resources. It's hard to dedicate a specific person to watch all the stations and figure out, you know, what it is they want to write about. Because unfortunately, staffs are.
I think sporadically. I mean, we've certainly have criticized actually Wave 3 before for some of their more
troubleshooter,
outlandish. Exploitative stories, but yes, yeah, specifically the troubleshooter.
And the red box robberies that are sweeping the nation.
Oh yeah, the red box robbery. Well, that was like one.
There have been like four in the country over the last 2 years.
So. You are not safe.
Yes. Yeah, don't go to the red box. But Joe, and I think of you in this because I remember when you were writing for Barefoot and Progressive. You know, a consistent part of it is this tug of war between blogs, between alt weeklies, between dailies, between television stations. And we've seen some pretty interesting tussles in Louisville media involving, you know, WDWE being taken off the air, Fox being taken off the air, WLKY being taken off the air. But we didn't, I mean, we tried to do a little bit here on Noise and Notes, but we didn't really hear a consistent theme or coverage of that from other outlets. Mm-hmm. Why is that, Joe?
Of the trouble with broadcast media?
Yeah, or the reason we don't have a criticism or public criticism of that or discussion of it.
Well, I'm not, I don't know what demographic watches local broadcast media. I really only watch it unless I see a promo that's completely ridiculous and I want to see what they're up to, but.
And I do think, I mean, I am very interested in media criticism and I would say internally we probably criticize the media on a daily basis, but I do think to a certain extent it's kind of inside baseball. It's kind of fellow journalists love reading about, you know, the failures of other journalists that they're competing with, but I think it's warranted because I think it's important to keep a watch on the media and make sure they're doing a good job. But as far as, you know, weekly media criticism, I don't.
Looking back, I guess, going beyond just these two issues, what are some stories that you're most proud of that you can think of that maybe didn't get as much attention as you thought? Because usually what happens is that, and it still works this way, I think, Leo will break something, and then you'll see it on the television pretty soon thereafter. But sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes, you know, you see a cover story that you all will do that has information that no one else has, and we sort of ignore it. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's some ones you look back on as you're most proud of or thought maybe needed a little bit more attention?
I'm surprised more people didn't dig into the Kentucky State Fair Board in terms of the personnel issues and the patronage and nepotism there. It didn't seem like the Courier Journal or any other outlet really picked up on that because there's certainly more to be unearthed there.
I would definitely agree with that. I think when you use words like personnel and that it's not necessarily that sexy sounding, but I would completely agree that it's definitely newsworthy, and I'm surprised that, especially a paper like the CJ.
But is the burden just on them, though? I mean, we in broadcast have a responsibility too, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
am I calling myself out?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think so. Well, Joe, Sarah, Anne, thank you for coming by.
Thanks.
Thank you, Phil.